check in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And here we sit in the Allstate Showcase studio on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon in Chicago. May has come back. Terry Savage is in the studio. We will talk to her about personal finance, what's going on, about things in your world when it comes to your wallet and all. Frank Sennett is here a little bit later after the headlines at the bottom of the hour. And one of the things that we're going to catch up on is this effort. Terry, I don't know if you saw this yet, but they're trying in the legislature to come up with a way to get around the $10,000 cap, the SALT, you know, the state and local taxes. And I was talking
for Illinois because we pay a lot of that.
Right. I was talking to Senator Julie Morrison's office today. She's the sponsor of a plan that they hope to get voted on in the Senate tomorrow. So we'll kick that around.
It'll be interesting what the Treasury Department says about that. You know, you can make any kind of plan you want at the state level to label your, quote, payments for property taxes, let's say, as contributions or something like that. But it's going to be the IRS, actually, I would guess, and the Treasury that'll determine whether that
works.
Yeah, and
they're trying to come up with a plan that they think will pass IRS muster, so we'll see
how
that goes.
Lots of luck.
Dow is, I'm just looking at a headline. I'm sorry, I'm going to share it with you. A federal judge in New York says President Trump cannot block users on his Twitter feed, which is...
Oh, is that interesting?
It is.
People block... No, Twitter blocks people.
No, you can block. You can block someone from your Twitter feed if they're abusive or you just don't want to hear from them. And, of course, the president, you know, doesn't want to hear from some of these people. But apparently, I guess because of the public nature of the way he uses Twitter. So I'm sure Kim will sort that out, or we will later in the day. Okay, the Dow is down 134 points so far today. The NASDAQ, S&P, not moving all that much. And from what I read, that's about trade worries. I don't know. Target is down.
I could give you a lot of reasons for the market to worry. Let's just put some perspective on this. Late January, the Dow hit a high of 26,616. Right now, we're at 24,697. Call it 24,700. So roughly 2,000 points below the January high. In spite of the fact that we've had spectacular first quarter earnings, economic growth, and so forth. So what could be bothering the market? I mean, it's not crashing. It's just backed off from its highs. It could be rising interest rates. We've seen the 10-year Treasury note go over 3%. Some people predicted doom and gloom.
The idea is that Treasury then is a little safer. You take
the idea
risk,
is that you can get 3% on Treasury notes for 10 years while you get less than that on the S&P 500. So why would you want to invest in stocks? Well, you and I know growth and hope of future profits, but may start to make people think twice. I'm going to come back to that, by the way. I want to go on another rant about your bank ripping you off, but let's talk about what the stock market could worry about. Energy prices are up now. You know, we're seeing oil, $80 a barrel on Brent and over $70 on U.S., despite the fact that we have a lot of energy. But there are all kinds of bottlenecks, fears of what's going on in the Middle East, and that's starting to translate into higher costs for consumers and for products that are trucked around the country. This trade war thing is absolutely on the minds of the market, and inflation as a real possibility is also, the market's done well in inflationary periods. But these are all things that people are looking at. Will it end? You want to know the most astounding thing I think about the market is that this is now the second longest bull market in history. Jim Stack of Investec. Go to investtech.com, the best investment newsletter for 25 years. I've read it regularly. The second longest bull market, except for the 1990s, which ended in the dot-com bubble. And if it lasts into the fourth quarter,
and twice as long as twice as long as the average.
It's twice as long as the average, but more importantly, in the average bull market, the market value doubles the indexes, the popular indexes. This has already tripled in value. So we are seeing this as a pretty phenomenal bull market. Just because we're off a couple thousand points from the highs, that the bull market is still obviously intact. And all these worries are out there. I'm not sure what could cause it to end. They don't just die of old age.
You wrote about this at terrysavage.com, and in your column you write, in fact, the market itself is likely its own greatest worry.
Yeah, it's markets always, you know, there's an old line, markets climb a wall of worry. There isn't a lot to worry about today because all the worries seem to have been absorbed into the market. And typically when you get to that stage where everybody says, well, Yeah, inflation, but that's not a problem. Interest rates, oh, that's not a problem. Trade wars, ah, look at it today. That's not the end of the world. That's not a problem. That's when some surprise can come along and burst the bubble.
And it's surprise that ends it, right? You said the market, the bull markets don't just wither away.
We can look historically and say, gosh, this has gone on a long, long time, and what are the odds? They must be diminishing. But bull markets don't just roll over and die of old age. Something happens at a time when everybody's pretty fully invested. And we may not be there yet, but, you know, with this old saying that doesn't only apply to the market, but everybody will appreciate. I mentioned that it tripled in value. The bigger they come, the harder they fall.
I don't want to hear that.
Well, I know you don't want to hear that. So I don't want to say it.
I think it's kind of fun that Target is down 5% today and Tiffany is up 20%.
This is a really interesting story. It really hit me, and I quick took a look. Target is down because, though its sales grew, it's cut prices, so it didn't have as much profit margin as expected. And because they had invested a lot, now they're playing catch-up with Walmart, which was playing catch-up with Amazon in online shopping. And so Target was a disappointment to analysts. Even though its sales grew, its profits didn't. Whereas Tiffany, the secret of their success is they've got a turnaround plan underway. And what they're doing is offering lower-priced merchandise with the Tiffany cachet. And they're cashing in on the fact that lower margin products,
Tiffany's acting a little like Target then.
Exactly.
Really? Exactly. Interesting. Wow.
But don't tell them that because, you know, Target is one cachet, but Tiffany is quite another. And we'll see how long they can push it.
The Fed minutes come out a little bit later today. Do we care much about that?
No, well, they didn't raise rates last month. And the question is, why didn't they? What are they looking at? Are they looking at inflation? Are we going to get a hint from what they said last month about what they might do next month? This market is moving along very nicely. Interest rates are moving up nicely, but the they call it the yield curve, the difference between short and long-term rates is still short-term rates are lower than long-term rates. What typically has triggered recessions in the past is when the short-term rates move up higher. That's usually when the Fed tries to put the clamps on a growing economy. They're not doing that.
That's Terry Savage. We're going to take a break, come back. When we come back, I want to talk about municipal bonds, but I also want to talk about this suggestion that if you're going to sell your house, this might be the time to do it. I never really considered selling your house to beat the inflation or recession, but let's talk about that quickly when we come back.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And we're back on the Wintrust Business Lunch, 12:22 here on this Wednesday afternoon. Terry Savage in the studio. Okay, Terry, so I was reading this column. I don't know if it was MarketWatch or CNBC, I don't remember. But real estate website Zillow, we talk about them a lot, and research firm Pulsonomics surveyed more than 100 real estate experts and economists, and they say they expect the next recession will begin in the year 2020. So the suggestion is if you want to sell your house, you're better off doing it now than you are waiting till 2020. And it never occurred. It seems to me that selling your house is it's not usually market-based. I don't think of it that way.
I have surveyed 1,000 weather forecasters in the Midwest, and 52% of them think it will rain at some moment over this weekend. The other 48% think not a chance. And that, let's just see who's right. I mean, surveys of economists about when recessions will begin are a great marketing pitch for the company making it. I mean, I get those all the time in my inbox. We've done a survey, the average of this or that. A home is where you live unless you're using it strictly as an investment. It makes sense to pay attention to the markets. You don't buy a home just as an investment. Right now, the one thing I would say about anyone searching for a home is here, I think, are two trends on the horizon. The first trend is higher interest rates. So if you're either have a floating rate mortgage or a home equity loan, this would be the time to refinance and lock it in. I just pulled up Bankrate, and mortgage rates are now up to 4.5%. It wasn't that long ago that they were between 3% and 3.5%. So everybody's going, oh my God, I couldn't possibly take a 4.5% 30-year fixed rate mortgage. Oh my goodness, I remember when mortgage rates were 13%. The idea that you'd get 4.5%, which your parents had in the 50s, was just fabulous. So interest rates are one thing you look at. And then the trend, inflation, could very well hit home prices because we're having higher costs of lumber, higher building costs, higher replacement costs. So in general, you would expect home prices to rise. Now, what's the negative trend? Taxes, taxes, taxes. You know, if you live in a place where property taxes are going up, where state income taxes are going up, that really puts a downward pressure on anybody wanting to move there. Timing is futile, but exposure to interest rates and exposure and the plus side of inflation may be pushing prices up, but the downside of the financial aspects of it, the cost of living there, and I might add crime in the case of the city of Chicago, all those things play into it. But you can't time whether this quarter or next quarter is going to be the best.
You're not going to put your house up to beat the recession.
If you know, I would say that if you know you're going to move and you're going to have to buy another house, it's just a pat, it's a wash.
You wrote also about municipal bonds, and sometimes, you know, I read topics and
yeah, nobody cares about this, right?
It's not that I don't care. It's not about municipal bonds. Yeah.
No, it's about a ripoff that's just been stopped.
Okay, well, tell me about the ripoff with municipal bonds.
Usually, I mean, first of all, let me just...
I wasn't criticizing your column.
No. Yeah. But the story is that those who buy bonds have been getting, especially tax-free municipals, have been getting ripped off. The attraction of municipal bonds sold by cities and states is that the interest is tax-free. It's a little lower than regular interest on a similar maturity and quality of taxable bond. But once you factor in the tax break, depending on your tax bracket, municipal bonds can be attractive. And I've always said, go buy a mutual fund that buys municipal bonds. Vanguard has them. Fidelity has them. Let them pick the bonds. Let you get the tax-free interest that's passed through. That's a way to do it. However, a lot of people want to buy individual municipal bonds. The sewer of Phoenix, Arizona. The general obligations of the state of Illinois. Taxing of bodies or states sell or cities sell bonds, you look at the credit quality and so forth. But when you buy the bond, you're going to get, you bought 10 bonds at 3 5/8 of 2023.
That's when my eyes...
And your eyes glaze over and you get a purchase price, $5,250, whatever it might be. And you never see a commission on that bond confirmation, as you'd usually do on your stock. You know, you could trade at TD Ameritrade for $2 a trade or whatever it might be.
So you assume there you have no idea what.
You didn't pay a commission. You got the bonds. It was $5,250. What you didn't know was that the dealer that sold them to you or the broker firm bought them for a cost of $4,900 and made $350 on your $5,000 transaction.
So what's new?
Because it's built into the price of the bond. So what's new is starting now, their commission will be, or the markup on the bond, what the broker made will have to be fully disclosed in dollar terms and percentage terms. And not only when you buy bonds, of course, but when you sell them, they're very hard to figure out, was that a good price or did they rip me off? Now they will be forced to disclose on your purchase and sales commissions. It's interesting because what we're getting is technology bringing cost to light. It's a warning to the two of you who are listening who buy municipal bonds to demand to know what the commission was. But it is part of a trend where consumers of financial services now are going to get better deals because of technology and transparency.
Read more about that at terrysavage.com. Terry, thanks for coming by.
Always happy to be here.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And here we sit at 12:37 on this Wednesday afternoon. A little bit later in the program, we'll be joined by Keith Weinberger. He's the CEO of Empire Carpet. I'm going to try out to see if I can maybe become the new Empire Carpet guy. But first, we say hello to Frank Sennett, who is on a phone line from Crane Chicago Business. Frank, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
588. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Okay, thanks, Steve.
Hey, so you know Dave Hoekstra, right? From the Sun-Times Forever, wrote about travel.
Absolutely.
Wrote about music. He does a show now on WGN Radio on Saturday nights. And you know how I do these trips, the WGN trips to Ireland and elsewhere. Hoekstra is going to lead a trip to the Republic of Ireland and to Northern Ireland coming up for us in October. And the highlight, I was thinking of you this way, is a Van Morrison concert in Belfast. He does a show in a hotel ballroom, 350 seats, a Van Morrison show. We got room
for
you.
That should be amazing.
Yeah, I think so. And I think Dave is the perfect guy to host it. We're just starting to get reservations in now. So if people are interested, check out my website, stevebertrandtravel.com. It's at wgnradio.com as well. Or just you can call me, 847-606-6065. It leaves on September 30th. It's like a nine-day trip, and we have a great time when we're there. Everyone has fun. So I'll save you a spot at the center table, Frank.
Sounds good. Both you guys have in common that you're great company and no stranger to listing a pint once in a while, I think.
And Hoekstra knows this stuff, so he'll be a great guy to go on this one. All right, I'm very excited about this effort to go around the limits on the state and local taxes, what you can write off in your federal taxes in Illinois. You know, this is part of the new federal tax bill. The cap is $10,000. And several states have been trying to figure out a way to allow their property tax and income tax payers to get around that. And typically, I would think that that's a little nefarious. But the fact is that the way this bill was written is they kind of wrote it to, the Republicans wrote it to target the Democrats. So let's go full bore on politics here. There's a plan supported by Julie Morrison, a Deerfield state senator, a Democrat, that I talked to her office today. They think is probably going to get a vote. They hope to get a vote on it tomorrow. And it looks like this might be the best chance. What can you tell me about it, Frank?
Yeah, it's headed to the Senate floor, it looks like, after being approved out of committee last night. And yeah, you're right. The tax law rewrite targeted cities where there are high income taxes, or states where there are high income taxes and cities with high property values, i.e. the blue states. And by limiting those deductions, our tax bills are going to go up significantly. So a workaround that some states, including Illinois, are looking at is setting up a charitable fund where you can donate. Legitimately goes to schools. Counties will have the accounts in hand, and then schools would then tap into the funds. And in exchange for that, you would get 90% of the donation back as a tax deduction from either your local property tax or your state income tax. So it would basically offset the penalty, the blue state penalty that the federal tax law rewrite put on us.
So it's not dollar for dollar, because you're only going to get 90% back on the 100% that you donate. But Morrison's office argues that that might be a way to escape a crackdown by the IRS, right? If it's not dollar for dollar, maybe it's more likely that the federal government would go along with it.
That's right. The reason that this, one of the reasons that this failed last time somebody put this proposal through the Illinois legislature, failed in the Senate, because there was a concern that the IRS might turn it down. And so by giving only 90% of a credit, the IRS may not see it as a sale of sorts, and rather would recognize it as a charitable donation. Now, that's still, remains to be seen, but they feel like this is going to protect the law from being ruled out of bounds by the IRS.
And if you're paying 10% on the money you contribute to the, I mean, if you're losing 10%, you're still coming out ahead, at least for what you would have paid in taxes. It's not 100%, but it's still better off than what you would have been doing.
That's right. And this is for those people who they did expand the standard deduction, and that will help offset this for a lot of people. But any of us who have a home that we pay very high property taxes on, or anybody who gets a high income tax bill, they would see a significant savings under this plan.
All right, so maybe a vote in the Senate tomorrow. It passed out of committee, I think, without dissent, so that's a good sign there. And it would go back to the House, because the House passed a different version. And we'll see if next week they're able to get something done on that. Any predictions?
I think that this is a political winner, and I think that there's not a whole lot of love for the way that the Republicans stuck it in the eye of the blue state. So yeah, I think it's got a good chance.
And they've also,
I don't know what the governor's going to think about it.
Well, there's an opt out as well for downstate areas that don't like it, so they don't have to participate, which is a way to bring some support there. Okay, another thing in Springfield, which I didn't know anything about this story. This ride sharing company or car sharing company Turo is moving into Illinois, and the rental car business is going at them full bore. What's that about?
Yeah, so you know how Uber is an app, is all they say, we're just an app, we just create a marketplace. These people with their private cars will drive and offer their services through the app, and we just take a fee to set the drivers up with the passengers. Well, Turo is the exact same concept, except with rental cars. Instead of the Uber X person driving you around, with Turo, say you put your car on the service, I come into town, I turn on my Turo app, I can rent your car, Steve, and you and I have a private transaction, is according to Turo, and Turo just provides the marketplace. Well, the car rental company's not too happy about that, because that makes the ability of this app ducks the sales taxes, and so creates an uneven playing field, right, according to Enterprise Rent-A-Car and some of the other rental car companies. So they are pushing in the legislature for a parity. So they want to require insurance and taxes and everything for the folks that are renting out their cars via Turo and other similar apps.
It seems like they have a good argument, but it also seems like history would be on Turo's side. I mean, there were good arguments against Uber and Lyft, but they were always able to carve out their own areas and didn't necessarily have to adapt all the rules that the other more formal companies had to.
Yeah, there's a great example right in Chicago, right? The Lyft and Uber drivers that were allowed to go to O'Hare, they don't have to pay the same taxes as the cab companies. And so the McPier Authority, you know, with the Convention Center and Navy Pier, they say they've lost about $3 million a year in fees when the city authorized this, you know, kind of uneven playing field for the Uber and Lyft drivers. So, yeah, you're right. It remains to be seen whether this would go through.
That's Frank Sennett from Crane Chicago Business. Read more at chicagobusiness.com. Thank you, Frank. I'll see you in Belfast.
Thanks, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing the news, providing input, and breaking down the stories that matter to the world of business. Another win for Midwest Tech, as CNBC released their annual Disruptor 50 list for 2018, with both Lonza Tech and Uptake cracking the list. You've heard about Uptake, the data analytics company predicting when machines will fail, but Lonza Tech is trying to save the world through their clean energy process for fuels. The Skokie-based company hasn't been much in the spotlight, but since launching in 2005, they've raised over a quarter of $1 billion. And disruption doesn't stop at traditional tech. It's everywhere, even in the mattress industry. New brands like Casper and Purple have been heavy on the marketing to show consumers that there's more out there than just the old school spring and memory foam mattresses. So these market disruptors are taking things a step further by beginning to offer their product in Mattress Firm stores across Chicagoland. It's a great alternative for the economy's tentativeness to open up brick and mortar stores. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
Back to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
800-588-2300-EMPIRE.
We don't have to call. The CEO is here. Keith Weinberger in his studio. He's the CEO of Empire. And I was going to say Empire Carpet, but that's not right, is it? It's Empire Today. Carpet, hardwood, floors, flooring, window treatments. So you're doing it all. Keith, welcome.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Okay, so we talk about Home Depot and all of that, you know, when the economy gets better, people are putting more money in their homes.
Yes.
Does that translate to the carpet business?
Yeah, absolutely. What we see in flooring is as people see the values of their homes get higher, and some of them do move to other places, but a lot of people want to stay where they are, and a lot of people want to upgrade their homes. And flooring, honestly, is one of the least expensive things you could do to really fundamentally transform your home. And do it in a relatively quick way that people are just amazed. We hear our customers tell us after we finish putting in new carpet or new hardwood, they can't believe that it's the same house.
Well, and you know, we talk a lot of real estate on this show, and the fact that homes aren't moving here like they used to. So people are staying a little bit longer, and that's one way to do it.
Yes.
What percentage of your business is still carpet?
Well, interestingly, considering to your point, we used to be Empire Carpet.
Right.
Now about more than 50% of our sales are actually non-carpet. So
really?
Hardwood, laminate, vinyl, vinyl plank, vinyl sheet, a lot of different products out there now.
It seems to me that, and we were talking about this a little bit before the interview started, but it would be a heavier lift for you to convince a customer to let you come into their house rather than go to a shop to pick something out, right? I mean, if I'm going to commit to have you coming over,
yeah,
That's more of a commitment on my part than it is just to go look at a run-of-the-mill carpet shop. So you got to overcome that, I would think.
Yeah, in a way. You know, the interesting thing, Steve, is you can't get an installed floor, carpet, hardwood, whatever it is, without someone coming to your house.
Eventually.
At some point, right. For sure. So what we do is we make it easy, right? We are, we're in 75 markets around the country. We're one of the, we are the biggest shop-at-home flooring provider in the country.
Wow.
We have the relationships with all the vendors, and we are able to choose the best product of every single kind, and that's what we're able to bring to people's homes. And it lets them see those products in the actual environment, which is completely different than what you might see in a retail store.
How much has the business changed in the past 5 or 10 years? I mean, you know, everything's the disruptive economy and all of that things. Has your business stayed essentially the same, or how has it altered it in the way you work it?
You know, it probably hasn't changed that much, believe it or not. The two things that really stand out to me, I think one is more hard surface, and that's really consumers now are looking for that kind of look more than they're looking for carpet, certainly in the past. And the other thing is obviously people's use of the web. So our phone number, 588-2300, right, is very well known.
Right.
But right now, a lot of folks are actually going to the websites and trying to find us.
In fact, one
of the big searches for, if you're looking for Empire, a lot of people don't necessarily search for Empire. They actually search 588-2300.
No kidding.
Yes.
I mean, that's a great lesson in marketing, right? Mm-hmm. And you had a longtime spokesman who was iconic in the city.
Yes, Lynn Haldren.
But you talked about, though, people going toward the look, the hardwood floor. And a lot of that's because of allergies or people concerned about the odors of carpets, downside like that. And I know you guys have a new product that you think is going to take care of that.
Yeah, Steve, we are incredibly excited about this. It's a revolution in flooring. It's honestly once in a lifetime, once in a generation kind of change. If you think about a typical carpet has the fibers that you stand on. It has a binder, which is made in the next level of limestone. So if you think that's crushed up limestone.
Okay.
And then you have a foam pad that goes under it. And that's all well and good. The product that we have now, which is called Home Fresh, is the world's first 100% hypoallergenic odor-reducing carpet.
So the pad is part of the whole thing.
And what it is it's all 100% polyester. So the fibers from top to bottom are all polyester. And what that allows us to do, and it's an integrated pad, so what that allows us to do is to have airflow that goes through it that's much better than what you get on typical carpet, because, again, you have different materials that are stopping that airflow. What that does is it dries out any living space for any allergens, any mold, any mildew, anything that can grow there.
Do you think this will change things? Do you think this will, I mean, you'll sell more carpeting?
What we've seen, we've done a lot of research, and I mean, the first point to your point, about 70% of consumers say that there's a breathing problem in their home, mm-hmm. asthma, allergy, something like that. And when they hear about a hypoallergenic carpet, the interest in buying a carpet doubles.
Keith Weinberger is the CEO of Empire Today. Thanks for coming by.
Of course.
Don't ever dump the number, even though if the web takes over, Keith, you got to keep the number. It works for you.
Indeed. I heard you about 10 minutes earlier saying you're ready to try out to be Empire Man. You have to sing the song to become the Empire Man.
Well, then it's never going to happen.